last several weeks about all the halachas pertaining to Shiva Nikiyam. So just to chaz for a moment, there are different aspects of Shiva Nikiyam. There's the basic halacha that the woman counts Shiva Nikiyam, any blood that she has is going to be so she's going to uproot, going to cancel the Shiva Nikiyam, force her to go back to the beginning. Then there's, the Mishnah tells us there was requirements of bedikas. It's not enough just to sit back and to wait and see the blood. You have to actively look for blood. We spoke a lot about that. Is that a din deraisa? Is that a din derabanan? Then there's a din of sfiras hayamim. The question is, what does sfiras hayamim mean? So some thought sfiras hayamim means to verbally count, that we reject. Some say sfiras hayamim is to at least be mentally cognizant that you're in Shiva Nikiyam. There was a question about that. We spoke a lot about how v'man v'yamim, what exactly is a day, what's not a day, in terms of crossing date lines, and crossing time zones, and Kedol Shabbos, all those things that can potentially throw off the different kinds of counts. So we've totally finished, but we finished for the most part, in a sense, the dinim of Shiva Nikiyam, those halachas, those real requirements, the Torah of Shiva Nikiyam, some of the dinim of the Rabban of Shiva Nikiyam. There are two other aspects of Shiva Nikiyam that we have to speak about, and they do appear in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, but as you see as we go on, that it's hard to call them dinim of Shiva Nikiyam. They're probably more of a Taurus Minhagim. Different Minhagim into the Chumras that have been accepted by different sects of Klal Yisrael over the years, certain things that we practice throughout Shiva Nikiyam, even though they're most probably not Mi'ika, Mi'ika, Din, or at least not Mi'ika, Din, and the Gemara. So one of them is we just started to mention at the end of the Shia last week. Take a look at page 11. It's the very bottom of the Tshuva. The Tshuva quotes is actually commenting on the I'm sorry, it's the page before. The next step of it. I'm sorry, from page 10. I'm sorry. So page 10 is the bottom of the Ramah. So the Ramah quotes a practice from Gedolei HaRishonim. We'll see as we go on. Gedolei HaRishonim Ashkenazi Rishonim. It's right, don't quote this practice. And that relates to some of the stains that are found during Shiva Nikiyam. Know that the halacha is when a woman finds a kesef, she finds a stain. And there are many, many kulas in the chuz ksamim. And the reason why there's so many leniencies in the chuz ksamim is because ksamim are deraisa. In our Torah, as long as a woman doesn't have a hargosh, she doesn't have a physical sensation, whatever that means, b'zman chazav, that means b'zman hazeh. In the event that she only finds just a sporadic stain here and there, so that's not a problem in Atar. It's only a problem with the Rabbanan. It's still a problem with the Rabbanan. Since it's only with the Rabbanan, so the Mishnah tells us in the Sefer Nida that we have a right to be Taila on things, that we can safely assume that if we think that it came from somewhere else, we can assume it did come from somewhere else. Let's say, for example, she's been dealing with a bloody thing. She works at a butcher store. She's had a lot of blood splattering around. And she walks out and finds some blood on her garment, so we can assume that probably came from the butcher store, probably not from her. But let's say she knows that she has hemorrhoids. And now she knows there's a little bit of blood on her underwear, and it could be from the front, could be from the back, it's hard to tell. So she has a right to be told, she can assume it probably came from the hemorrhoids, and she doesn't have to be concerned. So that's called Tliyas B'Makos. There it did in the Shnais and Gemara, also in the Gemara, about what constitutes a Makos, what doesn't constitute a Makos. So the Ramah, the Temple of Mamakamos, quotes the Chumrah. On the very bottom, on page 10, so on page 10, the first member comes. Ramah writes, Yesh Adam, Shlosh Yom Rishon, Shana Sfira, Yimotza Kesem, Ein Tolos Ol Halak, which is Ol Shak Samim. If a woman finds the Kesem in the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, she has no right to assume that it's okay, even though it meets the standards that you'll be able to be told in the rest of the week. Why? Because the first 3 days have to be the Gimli Yom Rishonim, Tzvichim, Yaz Nikiyam, Legamrei. First 3 days have to be completely clean. Ramah continues, that's only true for the first 3 days. After that, then she goes back to the regular rules of Ksam. She gives you time what the world is based on. So the Rishonim, the Ramah is quoting, it's a quote from the Mordechai, the Gos Maimini, the Trumas Hadesha, the Ogur, the Peret, the common denominator of all these Rishonim, they were all Ashkenazim. So all these Rishonim had the following idea. That the whole notion of being Toilin and Maka is saying that there's a good chance that it didn't come from you. It's a good chance it came from you, but not from a halakha you. It came from a Maka, it came from the butcher's, it came from other things. So, Bamedim Amurim, that it's a good chance. That's at a time when a woman is at the time of her cycle, and she's probably not seeing anyway. So when can we say a woman's probably not seeing? During the days when she's Tahora, or towards the tail end of Shiva Nikiyam, she's probably not seeing anymore. The first 3 days is what we show them point the phrase Mayana Pasuach. Her fountain literally is open. We know, it's very common biologically, even though the period ended, a woman's finished her period, she's made a hefsitara, she starts the camera, and day after day she starts to bleed again, she starts to pain again. So it's common that happens. Proves that she wasn't really done yet. So come the Rishonim and say, even though technically speaking this kesem should have been tahor, it has all the makings of a tliyah, she's got a makba, she's got a butcher's top, she's got an hair, but since it's within the first 3 days, where it's more likely that it came from her, and therefore the whole notion of a tliyah doesn't apply. That's the chumrah, doesn't appear in the Gemara, that's the chumrah of these Rishonim. Then the Ramah continues, and he qualifies that chumrah a little bit, in the very last line. The only time that this is true, that we have to be machmir not to be tefillah in the first 3 days, that's if it's a kesem that's more than the size of a gris, more than the size of a penny. Pakas with gris v'yod, tola b'kina afilu gili yom rishonim. But the first 3 days, she can be tola in a kina, tola in a bug, such a small kesem, it's less than a gris. She can be tola even in the first 3 days. The question is, what's the Ramah? Seems like a contradiction in terms. If the Ramah is really concerned that all some found in the first 3 days are more likely to come from her, so why do we turn around and we say, well, she found a little stain? So that's okay. You can assume the tola came from her bus even in the first 3 days of Moshe. If we believe that the first 3 days are coming from her, so then she will not even by less than a gris. So there are two ways of understanding this distinction of the Ramah. One is, I guess we call the Lomdish way, one is the Metzius way. So the Lomdish way is saying that the fact that, that if you find a stain less than a gris, the reason why it's permissible is not a tli. It's true that the Mishnah tells us in Egypt that the reason why Chazal picked on the shear of a gris is because there's not a Chazal, bugs were around the size of a gris. It wasn't just an arbitrary number of a gris. They picked on the size of a penny. Usually, if you find the blood, a little bit of blood less than a penny, it's a good chance that it came from somewhere else. But it's much deeper than that. It's not just a tliya. Chazal of the sake had a kesem less than a gris, nishkin kesem. That's a shia. Same way we have shia of a kezayis and shia of the aramas and shia of the tefachim. So midrabban, this is not a shia deraisa in the realm of the chuznit. This all the whole thing is all midrabbanan. But in the realm of the chuznit, the chazal of the sake. Any kesem less than a shear is nishkin kesem. If that's the fact, and those are the facts, so then it makes a lot of sense what the Ramah say, that what do we say during the first 3 days? That we don't want to rely on externals. We don't want to say it probably came from somewhere else, because we're not so convinced that it probably came from something else, somewhere else during the first 3 days. But let's say the Moshe, a woman finds blood in the first 3 days, that's not red, she finds yellow, she finds brown. If it's tar, it's tar. If it's not blood, it's not blood. So if you can tell me that a kesem less than a gris is not kesem, then it makes a lot of sense. Well, less than, even within 3 days, the less than a gris would be acceptable. That's the lomdish of Shad in the Ramah. This would be part of a whole theory that we spoke about way, way back last year. When we introduced the idea of ksamim, and we quoted the sugi of Maseches Nida, that the shear of a kesem is less than a gris. And the Mishnah says that the reason is because the bugs were about the size of a gris itself. So we raised the question that the Chavar of the Kasha is that how does this play out as man as that? What right do we have to be tola unless it's a gris as man as that? We do it all the time. A woman comes to the Shana, shows it to me, I take out a penny, I measure it, it's less than a penny, shana, it's mutter. What kind of joke is that? I really believe that blood came from a bug. She doesn't have any bugs. She's never had any bugs in the house. The house is bug-free, exterminating it, bug-free, what do you call it, the canine, you know, the bug bed, you know, the bed bugs, and they're it's clear, there's no bugs whatsoever. I'm saying with a straight face that, oh, it's okay, you're a mutaris. You know why? Because that, if I would tell the woman that, the reason why you're a mutaris is because it probably came from a bug, tell me I'm crazy. And the answer is you're right. If that's what I would say, I'm talking a little bit crazy. But the reason is that even though the reason doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh, the kula doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh, but kachtik the lochom, that's the shir kesem. Don't ask any kashas. The whole thing is there abundance anyway. Less than a gris is not called the kesem. So if that's the case, less than a gris is not called the kesem, so this Ramah makes a lot of sense why we have a right to be made on less than a gris within the first 3 days of Shiva the Kiyam. The only thing is that if you look at the Ramah himself, if you look at the Zakim Moshe, so this doesn't seem to be the reason that's presented. The real reason to differentiate between Tlias that we don't accept in the first 3 days, the Pachas of the Gris that we do, is because you have Shabbalah Vachim. There's no way we can make such a Chumring. The whole thing is not the Kredit, the whole thing doesn't appear in the Gemara. We're guessing that it's unlikely that it came from another Suasha in the first 3 days. But if you're going to say that vis-a-vis a stain of less than a gris, Yeah, woman's never going to become tahora. Every all women have this. The Mishnah says, the Gemara says, "Masaf zida ein lucha sadin she ein makami tibidamim." In the days of Chazal, the bedbugs were rampant. So every sheet had blood on it. So there's always blood around, and we're going to be machmer less than a gris. Never going to become tahora. So therefore, it's almost like a gezeira shenetzi bichol lamed. But we can't institute the chum. We can't make the chum with the rabbanim. The whole thing is, it's a chumra on a dinder abad. We have no right to make such a chumra if it's going to cause the woman to become asura for so much longer. So it's not that there's any lumdish difference between a tliya and a macha, a tliya in a butcher store, and a tliya in the bed bugs. It's all the same kind of a tliya. It's not a sheer, it's a tliya. The only thing is that we have to be realistic in terms of how far we can extend this chumra. So whatever the pshat is, that's what the Rambam says. That's what we're knowing at the end, is it? That's the practice of Rabbanim today. That when a woman comes in the first 3 days of Shiva Nikim and says, "Oh, Rabbi, I have blood and I want to be told on something," he says, "You can't be told. Can't be told during the first 3 days." But if she comes and says, "Rabbi, here's a kess, it's very, very small. I take out a penny, it's a little bit less than a penny. So then I have a right to be megel even during the first 3 days." So that distinction of the Rambam, whether it's based on lomdus, whether it's based on mitzias, that's how we pass in the halacha today. But now the Rambam comes and he qualifies this a little bit further. The Rambam says on the top of page 11, "Ruha dinim ha'ila makah begufa, v'yodah shelo tiyadam, t'ilu ba'afilu b'yosu b'kvis v'yoyin." Says the Rambam, what would the din be if a woman has a tliya during the first 3 days, but it's an unbelievable tliya, it's a gewaldige tliya. It's a tliya, what we call a makah sheyadua shelo tiyadam. What's the difference between Yadu and Enyadu? We spoke about this previously. The Gemara says in Masechus Nida that if a woman finds blood, so she has a right to be tola on the macha. And the Gemara was talking about even if she finds blood, not derech bedika, even if she finds blood derech tashmish, situations which are much more problematic, much more chomer for finding blood. But if she knows that she has a macha in that area, how she can know? The doctor looks and sees she has a macha in that area, so then she can be tola b'makrosa. So the Rishonim have a big machlokes. What kind of a macha are we talking about? So some Rishonim said it has to be what's called a macha hayadua shemaytzidam. It's not enough she goes to the doctor. The doctor says, "Yeah, you have some kind of an infection, kind of a cut in there." So we ask the doctor and say, "So tell me, doctor, is this a kind of a blood? Is this a kind of a cut that's really going to bleed? Does it really? I just had a lot of blood. Does this make sense that it's going to bleed? Is this a bleeding wound?" So the doctor says, I can't tell you that for sure. I can say you have something abnormal there, something looks a little bit irritation there. Can I tell you it's going to bleed? I can't tell you that. So that's what's called the macha she'eino yadua she'maytzidam. I know there's something there, it's documented there's something there, but I can't say with certainty that's a bleeding wound. Then you have a higher level of wound, which is the macha hayadua she'maytzidam. The doctor examines her and he says, "I'm telling you, you have something, I'm looking at a bleeding. I know for a fact, you'll touch that, 1 second, you'll touch that with a beak cloth, you'll touch that with shatat, it's going to start to bleed." That's called the macha hayadua shebaitina. So there was a big machlokes to Rashi and the Mordechai. What kind of macha was Chazal talking about? So in Hilchos Ksamim we make a legamre. Hilchos Ksamim, any kind of a macha, whether it's yadua shebaitinam, any yadua shebaitinam, if there's a macha there, it's fine. Let's say a woman, she has hemorrhoids. The hemorrhoids haven't bled in the last day or two, so we're not really sure. It's still bleeding, not bleeding. But Kolzman, she still has the hemorrhoid there, she can feel a little something there. That's good enough to be tailor for Ksamim on. So comes the Rambam and says, since halachically there are two levels of makas, it's a makah hayadua shebaitzidam, and a makah she'ein yadua shebaitzidam. If she finds blood in the first 3 days, how will you treat that? So if it's makah she'ein yadua shebaitzidam, we're not even sure this is actually bleeding. We're not going to shy away from that cool. We're not going to make it during the first 3 days, because if you have a toss up to the side, where's the blood coming from? Give me an intelligent guess, an educated guess as to what the source of the blood is. So on the one hand, she's got a makash in yadua shebaitzidam there. On the other hand, it's the first 3 days. The first 2 days, it's more likely it's coming from the uterus. So comes to Rambam and says, nevach, if it's a makash in yadua shebaitzidam, we can't be makel. But it's a makash hayadua shebaitzidam, she knows she's bleeding there. She's bleeding. The doctor looked at her and said, "I'm telling you, for that blood is coming from the cervix. It's coming from the outer part." She knows for a fact she's a makash hayadua shebaitzidam. Tough luck. So comes some post can say, "No, can't be Taylor. First 2 days can't be Taylor." So Ramah said, "No, it's not tough luck." Ramah says that if it's a Maka Hayadua Shabbatidam, such a proof, such an absolute Raya Brusha La Tshuva, we know exactly where it's coming from. Even in the first 3 days, we have a right to be made. You know, that's the Psach of the Ramah.
How far do you extend that concept? In other words, let's say if it's a makar she do with Shmuel Zidon, but it's not, let's say a woman has a wound on her leg. Right, so you could, in theory, you find blood on the sheet.
But it's got to be, that's right, you have to know where the blood, that's the thing, you have to know where the blood is found. Let's say if she has a wound on her leg and she finds blood inside her underwear, that's...
No, but on the sheet.
Finds on the sheet. That's right, if she finds blood on a sheet, and she knows she has a bleeding wound on her leg, then she has a right to be
naked. Even the first 3 days, you can
say. Even that's what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, if it's a macha, she has to do a shemotidam.
Even though, I'm saying, even if, so we're saying, motidam is lopped out from that area.
There's a realistic macha motidam. That's the Ramah's plan. So again, the Ramah threw the chumra at us, Pesha also spread hit here. He's the one who quotes Yeshkenazi, Mishanamu, and Machmir, that sometimes the first 3 days are different. Before the Ashkenazi, we never heard this. The Gemara does not mention this. The Rambam doesn't quote the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't quote it. The Sfarim don't quote it. But the Mordechai, Mamrut, all the Ashkenazi Rishonim who came up with it, makes a lot of sense. You're playing games, you're playing risks. What are the odds, where it's coming from? So those Ashkenazi Rishonim who are Cheshesh for this, so the Ramah gave you the Chumra, and then he gave you, pulled back, scaled back a little, gave you two kulas. He said, if it's within the first 3 days and it's less than a gris, you have a right to be Meitil. If it's within the first 3 days and she has a machah, a dua shiloh sidam, you have a right to be makel as well. So it's that second kula that the shach takes an issue with. So we're not going to read the shach yet, there's a lot of time today. The second of the Mamre Kovos, a long, long shach of page 11. Basically, the shach disagrees with this Ramah. Basically, what the shach says is that, let me take a look, we can sum it up at the very end, that Mavur Midbar, it's the fourth line from the bottom of the shach. If the quote is everybody under the sun, the Shach says, so at the end of the line, Ramvor Midvar, the Ema Hokel, El Bemalea, Shichli, the Kivi, the Damiot, the Men of Tomid, Alav Hokel, the Yadua, Shamachas, the Tiadam, Ema Hokel. So comes the Shach and says that the Ramon misunderstood this Kula. This Kula of the Ramon, that if you have a certain kinds of Bakas, it's okay, appears in Rishonim. Within those Rishonim who quote the Chumra, quote this Kula, the Shach says not the way the Ramon understood the Kula. Says the Shach, what the Rishonim meant when they said, if it's a macha, yadua, shemotidah, everything's okay, what they meant is a woman who's constantly bleeding. She's got an ongoing problem, and she's going to get out of this problem. She's got the doctor say, you have a, I don't think, Heather, you know, chronic hemorrhoids, you're always going to be bleeding. True, I know that exists. You're going to be bleeding for the next 20 years, you're going to be bleeding, you're going to be finding blood in your underwear. The Shach says, so what do you want from the woman? She's never going to get to the mikveh. Every time she gets, the first 3 days, sorry, you can never come to her. So the Shach says that if it's a makai, a dua shevei tidam, that's an ongoing saga that you're never going to be able to get around, then do Rishon Lameikel. What's the svara? It's the same reason why we make in the first 3 days for less than a gris. This whole thing is a chumrah b'yom. It's not me'ikim mikveh din in the Gemara. The Rishonim instituted this chumrah, but men divar mamurim, they instituted this chumrah when it's realistic, when it's possible to overcome, when it's possible to fulfill. But to use this chumrah to ask a woman to be on the blood, that's ridiculous. So therefore, on ksavim less than a gris, you can't ask a woman on ksavim less than a gris, because every sheet has blood on it. If you have a woman that has hemorrhoids for the next 20 years, you can't ask her because of the ksavim, because the ksavim are ongoing. It says the Shach, what if you have a makah yadua shemotinam? That's a kind of a makah, that's healable. It's a kind of mach she's going to recuperate from. So let's say she finds a little bit of blood in her underwear, and she knows she has a bleeding hemorrhoid. She knows for a fact. She goes to the doc. The doc says, I'm telling you, you have a hemorrhoid. You're bleeding for the hemorrhoid. But I'm telling you, give you some medicine. Within 2 days, you'll be fine. It's going to stop bleeding. So Shach says, you know, you don't know how to keep making all that. Shach says that we're not toil and mach is during the first 3 days. End of discussion. Whether they're motzi, not motzi, you do it, not you do it, you're not toilet machas the first 3 days. The only time the Rishonim said you can be toilet machas in the first 3 days if it becomes an impossible situation. But if it's possible, then wait it out, says the Shach. So this is a major machlokes on the Shach. This is a real question. What right do we have to make during the first 3 days? So this Shach comes up all the time. Shach comes up not so much from heaven, but sometimes it comes up all the time in terms of pap smears. A woman goes to the doctor, she goes for an exam, and she gets a pap smear. So I always tell the women, you shouldn't schedule a pap smear during Shiva Nikim. It's the worst time to schedule it. Well, sometimes we're not always in control. Sometimes she's in the middle of Shiva Nikim. She made an appointment. She goes to the doctor, does an exam, and does a pap smear on her. And then she calls frantic 10 hours later, I found blood. I found the stain in my underwear. So I asked, why are you bleeding from? She said, I went to the doctor. He asked her, did he do a pap smear? Yeah, he did a pap smear. So the post came to see what pap smear is, let's call it the Machla Yadua Shema Tidam. Since it's so likely that women do bleed, many, many women do spot a little bit after the pap smear, we assume that that reaches the threshold, the criteria of the Machla Yadua Shema Tidam. But now what? So if she's in day 5 of Shema Nikiyam, that's a Habotam. That's not a problem. But she's in day 3. She's day 3 of Shema Nikiyam, she went to the doctor, did a pap smear, now she's bleeding. What do you do? So according to the Ramah, it's okay. According to the Ramah, it's a Machai Yadua Shemetzidam. It's the highest level of probability that it came from there. We know the doctor tells, of course we know it comes from there. So the Ramah says, once you meet that highest level, then you're okay.
But even if it was more than a gris,
you're more than right. Yeah. Less than a gris, then for sure it's okay. Right? Even the Shach.
Well, according to the Shach, if it's less than a gris, he's still
okay. No, no, less than a gris is also okay. Less than a gris, even the Shach would agree.
Okay.
But if it's more than a gris, so the Shach would say, I know it's a Machai Yadua Shemetzidam, but it's not a chronic Machai. Into perhaps because don't bleed forever, so day into it'll bleed. So hang in there, it's not Shemini Kiyam over again. It'll be 2-3 days behind count. It's not going to be the end of the world, it'll be the end of 2 days. So the Shach would argue that you have to wait it out. How do we pass in halach and this machlokes the Ramon the Shach? Depends who we are. So many achronim make it like the Ramon. The reason why many poskim make it like Ramon, because this whole thing is not a din. It's not a din there, right? It's not even a din there, Ramon. The whole thing is a churub yama. So therefore, we have a right to be make it. Again, I imagine there are different hungers amongst Ramon and Bizman and Zeb, but there are many achronim who make on this. The mice are making this. People come and do the shayla, so I think you have a right to make it. I'm a churub to look for a chumra with this chumra segoim. There is a Rabbi Yosef in the same Torah Sabayis has a lot to say about this topic, and every time he talks about this topic, so he always is ma'or the fact that we Sfarim don't follow this topic. He keeps on saying every 10 lines he says we don't accept this chumrah. We hold makas on what even during the first 2 days. The whole thing is not in Shulchan Aruch, not in the Rambam. We don't pass like it. He keeps on saying, but for Achenu, Ashkenazim, they should follow their Rishonim, they should follow their Minhagim, they should follow this. And then he writes, but when you have certain Shailas, even within what the Minim, what the Chumrah was, you're not looking to look for Chumrahs within the Chumrah itself. So he writes, and then when you have Machloikis, that does the Minig, does the Chumrah apply in this case, is Yesh Machum Lahokil. And then every time, so about 5-6 times, he says, and he wants to make sure you don't think that he's being concerned with the minute. He says, Lididon, it's Mutter anyway, but even Liditchu, even for you could be Mekel. Then he goes on another 20 pages and says, and by the way, for a Svaradim, don't have to be Chayshish, but for Chedu Ashkadim, even they can be Mekel, Kohenim, and Kohenim. So the recurring theme in this sugya is that yes, as Ashkenazim, we have accepted this Chumrah, but we don't have to be too Machmer within this Chumrah itself. It's based on this, that the Poskim points out, that if you take a look on page 12, on the page 12 of the Pischa Tshuva, the top of page 12, the second line of the Pischa Tshuva quotes, Ein Tolos Al-Hokal, Ayin B'tshuvas Chem D'Shlom O'Shehela, Dim Nimtza Kesem Al-Dover She'enu Mekabel Tuma, After Gimel Lo Cheshirin La. What would it then be if you find the Kesem within the first 3 days, and something that's not Makabel Tuma? Should we say that normally some on things that are not susceptible to Tuma are okay, so they should be okay also? Or should we say, wait a second, the standards of okay during the first 3 days are not the same as during the rest of the month. So just as with Machmir, not to be Toila on Ksamim, not to be Toila on Makis, or certain kinds of Makis, during the first 3 days, so too we should be Machmir, not to permit on a Doshin of Kabel Tuma. So he quotes from the Chem Shlomo, says that is not correct. Why? So Shehela, the Im Nimtza Kesma Dovashin of Kabel Tuma, after Gimel Lo Cheshin Ma. Why? Kev the Dovashin of Kabel Tuma, Lo Ha Mechal Gezeris Ksamim. The longest, it's like the Pachas Megris story, according to some. The longness of Dovashin of Kabel Tuma has nothing to do with the Tliya. When a woman finds a kesem on the toilet paper, it's not that, well, it's more likely it came from somewhere else. You know exactly where it came from, and it's mutter anyway. It's mutter because Chazal were never misachim some and Dovashim would come to them. Why not? Why did they come up with that? That's a Mishnah. What was the Bira Dovah? So if you remember, we spoke about this about a year and a half ago, that the Achronim explained, and who did some certain others who said, that the whole institution of Ksamim was really instituted only at a time when they used to keep Tumah V'Tahara. Because Ksamim really doesn't make any sense. The woman comes to the shayla and she says, I didn't have hargosh, I found a little spot. So minator, she's mutaris. Minator, we ignore it no matter what. It's zero minator. There's no hargosh. So why did Chazal make the gezeira? So the Achronim explained that when she comes and asks the shayla, am I mutaris? So the answer is, of course you're mutaris. And when she turns around and asks, is the garment tamei? Yes, the garment tamei. Because the din of hargosha, she's only called the nida if she experiences hargosha, that's a din in the tumas agavra. It's not a din in the tumas achevza. Dam nida accomplishes three things. Anytime a woman has dam nida, three things change. She becomes asura, she becomes tamei, which is not relevant today, and the garment that it's found on becomes tamei also. Dam nida is a dover metam, it's an avatuma, everything that it touches becomes tamei. So when she comes in as the shayla, I found dam on a garment, but I didn't feel any sensation, so what's my status? So the rabbi says, you're tahora, you can go to the base of Mikdash, you're mutaras lebaalech, and your garment is tamei. So the woman's going to walk out and say, that's the strangest thing I've heard. It doesn't make any sense. She's going to not be able to process of chazid in the future. I'm mutter, she's mutter, he's mutter, the beggar's tummy, it doesn't make any sense. So Chazal had to institute, they couldn't say the beggar's tar, because the beggar's not tar. So they had to say the beggar's tummy, that's the din deraisa. Then with the rabbana, and Niko, they had to be mutami the beggar, they had to be mutami here, and they had to ask the Bible as well. So they had no choice. Mishum, chumas taras, they had to institute this takana called ksamim. So that's what the Chavadim write, that ksamim only makes sense when you have to be metame the item that the kesem was found on. If you don't have to be metame the item that the kesem was found on, so then the whole thing didn't get off the ground. So when she comes and asks the shayla, I found the blood that's in toilet paper. So we assume the toilet paper is probably not makabel tuma for a variety of reasons, much that's disposable. Other reasons, the woman finds the kesem on toilet paper. So she goes to the rabbi, what's the din? And my mutter and my tamei is the toilet paper tamei. So we say it like this. You really should be tamei altogether because there's no agosha. You really are muteric because there's no agosha. Oh, you give up, you have to be tamei the toilet paper. So we think about it for a minute. We have to be tamei the toilet paper. Toilet paper is not makabel tuma. Oh, Baruch Hashem. So we say to her, check, check, check. Het tegamun. Three green lights, everything is okay. She walks away with a breathes a sigh of relief. But the same woman who comes with the shayla in the underwear is a chabegin. The underwear, we have to be time with the underwear. Since we have to be time with the underwear, the male, we have to ask the woman as well. That's how many Echorim explain. That's what Tumas Ksum is all about. That's why the Chassam Sefer writes, that's why we have a right to be makel bizman hazeh of less than a gris. Remember we mentioned before, what do we make a less than a gris for? We didn't have any bed bugs anyway. Chassam Sefer says, you're right, we don't have bed bugs, but we don't have taros either. So we really shouldn't have to be, we shouldn't have had to keep Ksum altogether bizman hazeh. So why are we stuck with Ksumim? Because it was called the Dovah Shebeminyan, because Chazal instituted it, and they were never mevatel it. And it's like Yadav Sheni, he's all good to have a seichel. We have to keep it, even though the reason itself doesn't apply. So just as like by Yadav Sheni, we say, we have to observe Yadav Sheni, to motion on Rabbi Sein, the same way that our great-great-great-great-grandfathers observed Yadav Sheni, we have to observe Yadav Sheni. Whatever they did, whatever they didn't do, we follow suit. So to Ruchus Ksamim. We follow Eim L'chol Mashan Og Rabbi Sein. So the days of Avicenna, when the original Takan of Ksum was made, they built in a cooler of bedbugs, because that was prevalent in Zman Chazal. So we have a right to make on the bedbugs. Either no bedbugs today, you're right, there are no bedbugs. There are no Ksum either today. It shouldn't be, because there's no Taurus anyway. So we split with Avicenna. Whatever they did in the Free Dikadaris 2,000 years ago, that's what we're left with Zman Hazeh. So that halacha, that a Kesem found that a Davashayla Kamatum is not a problem, that has absolutely nothing to do with Tlias. That's a din, that's a halacha. So therefore, the Pesach Tshuva quotes from the Chemda Shlomo that applies even in the first 3 days, because as long as it's not in the parish of Tlias, we have a right to be Mekel even in the first 3 days. And then if you continue along that line of reasoning, from the very, very bottom, V'shuvra isi v'tshuvas mil tzedakha, the midvar of nira poshul l'hatam v'ksom v'tzom v'beget tzavua tachim v'yamim. The same is true that, let's say a woman finds a kesem on a dover tzavua, something tzavonim, which is colored. Why are we makel on tzavonim? So the Pharisee Gemara, I'm chalik zatanam, we pass in l'alocha that tzavonim are not subject to ksom. Why is that? What does that have to do with tlias? It's more likely it came from somewhere else. After the chan, it's more likely. We know exactly where it came from. So the Rashi on the spot explains, the reason why Chazal were marked tzivonim was because when it shows up in something colored, you're never really going to be sure what the color is. It's very hard to discern what the color is. So color plays such a major role in Hukos Nida. Therefore, Chazal said, you know what? Anytime you find a kesem on a colored garment, you're never going to be 100% sure that it's a problematic color, because the background of the color that it's on is throwing you off a little bit. So therefore, we make them. Suffolk, okay, we could be make them. So lo tiknu ksamim, they were only misachin ksamim, if it shows up in white. When we spoke about this last year, the Gemara is a fascinating comment in Maseches Nida, that at the time when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so Chazal made a whole series of gezeiros try to minimize that we should commemorate, we should mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. And they said there's certain things that we shouldn't look too fancy bizman as that. That's why they instituted when women wear jewelry, they should leave a little bit of jewelry off, and the girl gets married, she shouldn't put on a crown. Certain things that they wanted us to minimize to make them, so we should realize that we're living in tough times, in the post Chorban. The Gemara says that Bikshu Ligzol HaTzivayim. They wanted to make a gzeira that women should wear, nobody should wear colored garments. And colored garments in the olden days were a sign of something fancy, something nice. A regular Pashtun guy wore white and black, I don't know what he wore, but he didn't know he wore white. But to wear color, that was a sign of a little bit of ostentatious, a little bit of fanciness. So Bikshu Ligzor ala Tzivayim. Chazal felt that this Manach Chorban is right. Everybody should just wear plain and simple clothes. Nobody should get dressed fancy with fancy color clothing. But Lo Gozru, why weren't they go there? Kedel Hokala Kismayim. Because they were afraid that if you make a Gedeira not to wear color, then the women won't be able to wear color, and they're going to have so many more problems than the Nuchas Nidah, Nuchas Ksamim. So therefore, to protect the women to have the ability to be able to still be make on this kula, that's why we're wearing coats. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to wear a blue sweatshirt today. Everyone would have had to walk around wearing white. That would have been plain and simple and the white and black, and we would have won. But the fact that we're allowed to wear colored shirts for Zman Hazeh, that stands to Chasnida. That's the Zosh Tepe Ferish in the Gemara in Maseches Anida. There's a question in the poskim whether that kula applies. What if it's a colored garment that doesn't mask the color so much? Let's say it's a very, very light yellow underwear, something very light grayish underwear. I can tell exactly what color it is. So some achrayim say, oh, that was never included in the kula of ksavim, because Rashi says the whole kula of ksavayim was in order to make it impossible to tell the color. So that's if you're wearing a dark blue underwear, so that's not hard to tell the color. If you're wearing a dark green underwear, it's hard to tell. If you're wearing a very, very light yellow underwear, you can tell right away whether it's red or whether it's not. So some achrayim machmer, the rabbi not only has to see whether it's colored, you have to look at the color scheme, what color it is. So many poskim are making on that. The thing that I received was that if it's colored, it's colored. The oil of it goes off, it's colored. What are the 64 colors? There's still 64 colors in Creole? Probably a lot more since then, no? Okay, in my days, that was like when I was in first grade, so my parents bought me the box of the 8 colors. Remember the 8 crayons? Yeah. Maybe some of the old times were 8 crayons. I was so proud, I was so excited to come to school, 8 crayons, until I found out that somebody else had the 16, the box with 16 colors. So I cried and cried and cried to my parents, they bought me the 16. So what happened? Somebody else had the 32, and then somebody had the 64. By that, in England, I'm a search. So as long as it's one of the official 64, plus whatever other numbers of colors they've discovered since then, so that's called colors, and we have a right to be Mekel. So the Pesach Tshuva writes, we have a right to be Mekel, even during the first few days. And again, this far being, that the whole thing was only a chumrah, because we don't want to be toila on things, because it's unlikely. So if the kula is based on, not on tliyas, but based on a kula, just a built-in kula into the system, with some less than a gris, or if it's a kibbutz tumah, or it's in tzivayim, etc. So these kulas that the Pesach Tshuva quotes are very, very relevant for us. Not much halacha, it happens all the time.
Tzivayim must have to be less than a gris, though.
No, tzivayim would be more than a gris. No, if it's less than a gris, even a white, it's okay.
Okay.
So if a woman finding a kesem and a doshet makabatuma is the most common case of ksamim. There are two places where women find ksamim. One is on underwear and one is on toilet paper. Those are two guys. Once in a blue moon, you find the kesem on your body, which is a whole another aspect in halacha. But 99.9% of ksamim today are found either on underwear or they're found on toilet paper, tissue paper. So what's the din? So if it's found on toilet paper, it depends what you're thinking about, whether toilet paper is makabatuma or not. So in Europe, there was a big machlekes and poskim about ksam on paper. It's paper, makabatum, not makabatum. So if you look in the earlier poskim we discussed, the Chayyav and others, you'll get the impression that the reason why they were fighting about it was because they were describing two different kinds of paper. The paper was made in different ways. Sometimes paper was made from the pulp of trees, and sometimes paper was made from old shmatas, from old rags. I remember when I was learning the sugya, I couldn't figure out what was going on. Half the Chacham would describe making paper in one way, and half would describe it another way. If you make it from shmatas, that's the kapotuma. If it's a bag, it's a bag, it's a kapotuma. If you make it from trees, so then it's pshute kliyates, and it's not a kapotuma. So I couldn't figure out why is there a discrepancy about how to make paper. So this goes back 20 years ago. So what did I do? So I looked it up in before Google's days, before I was in good. I did an encyclopedia of paper, and I saw it. There were two different, from the ancient world, there were different ways of making paper. So that's why the Acharonim, some Acharonim were making paper one way, others were describing in their land, their places, they were making a different way. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that this machlokes was a fascinating machlokes for hundreds of years, but totally irrelevant for Zman HaZeh. Why? Rav Moshe writes, the paper the Acharonim were arguing about was not toilet paper, we call toilet paper. They're talking about paper stam that was reusable. In the olden days, people didn't throw up paper. You didn't take a piece of paper and throw it to the garbage. Paper was very, very expensive. That's why Ruch HaShabbos, the poskim write, a piece of loose paper with Machas Chisor and Kiss. Because it's expensive. You wouldn't throw out a piece of paper. So Moshe writes, a piece of toilet paper, a tissue paper. You don't reuse that. It's disposable. So Moshe says, L'shitasi, we spoke about this last Friday night in Shul, a disposable clay is not Mekabal Tumah. So Moshe writes that even if paper in theory is Mekabal Tumah, it was made from Mishpata, but a toilet paper, tissue paper is not Mekabal Tumah, and therefore someone wouldn't apply to it. So we're very, very makel on this. So many folks are makel on this, that toilet paper, tissue paper is not Mekabal Tumah. So we have a right to be makel even during the first 3 days. Is that so? Every month when has the shilas. She did have sikdara, she does a bdikas first day after, and then she finds a little kesem on toilet paper. So she calls me up a gaval, they found it's a little bit red, and it's even more than a gris. Forget about it. But it's the first 3 days. Forget about it. Doesn't matter. Because the fact that we're making on toilet paper has nothing to do with tlias, nothing to do with sedilah, with scars, has to do with kaktik, with chachamim, that davashim makatum is not a problem. Those who are machma in the toilet paper shop don't want to follow Rav Moshe's kula, so some try to practice that the women during they should try to use colored toilet paper. If you use colored toilet paper, then it's tzivonim. So this used to be easier to do than today. For many years, it was very practical, but it's not so easy to find colored toilet paper today. If you look, the reason is, I think because of the allergies, all kind of dyes and stuff, and it's become less popular to use. I never made it. Study of this, but my impression in the stores is that it's not as common. People used to like it because it looks a little bit nicer, a little bit fancier, but women and men tend not to use it. The manufacturers don't make it as much. So that was the impression that I'm under. So, but in the previous diary, so they used to tell the women, instead of getting involved in the shower, they always use colored toilet paper. And I don't tell people they use colored paper, but they use white paper. It's also okay. I think I quote that some rabbanim tell people to use colored toilet paper and others to make with a regular toilet paper. But the mekilim on the toilet paper have the right pashas to make even during the first 3 days of shul.